The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside Chat. This is issue number 82, Spider-Man, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man from 2002. Does this movie hold up? Is Tobey Maguire a good Spider-Man? Willem Dafoe, great bad guy? And how about that upside-down kiss? We get into all of that and more, so let's head into the store and social distancing, people. Hey, Johnny, another week, another Monday, we're back. I mean, this is great. Another great weekend for you at Arkham Comics and Games. I saw you tweeting about the lines out the door. That was great.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Hey, if we're going to play a ruse, we might as well make it great.
Might as well, you know? Right. Might as well make it worthwhile.
Yep. So how things going?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. How about you?
Going good. We're having some PlayStation issues at the house.
PlayStation
not good during quarantine. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yep, and it's apparently my PlayStation isn't as Joe's having issues with it, and I just saw him standing in front of the theater rack, and I had to laugh because I'm like, oh, it reminds me of when I was your age.
Right.
Like I used to stare at my theater rack. How can I improve this?
Right.
And he's like, I'm trying to fix it. So.
You're right, I'm not trying to improve anything. I just want to play PlayStation.
Yeah, and he's like, he's got an older version, but that could work. But I was like, I feel bad because I'm like, I just buy. Normally, when you have issue, I just buy another one. But with the new one coming out, I don't want to waste money on this one. But that's all he does every night. So actually, maybe I should sabotage it, and then I can get more time
then
in
you
my
could,
theater.
Exactly.
At night. There you go.
That's how you do it.
Shh, he doesn't know that.
Right.
All right. What do you got? Anything?
No. Nope. Show's over, folks.
Yeah. Those covers last week. Batman number 95, Francisco Mattina.
Yeah.
That's the one with the Joker, right? I got that right?
Yes.
The Joker basically on fire. And that, I know you had said, like, well, these are kind of like the only ones.
Yeah. I was like,
I do like this.
Yeah. We were joking before we started that, you know, it's not that I loved the covers necessarily. It's just that it was all there was to talk about. But they're not bad by any means. But, you know, it's Francesco Mattina, so I don't know if it's necessarily up to his normal standards, you know, because...
It might be like, you know, that's a Ritz type thing, the old Eddie Murphy joke. Like, we're getting some art here, and I'm like, this is really good. That's a Ritz, isn't it?
You know, quarantine art, so, you know, take it for what it's worth.
Maybe I should do a cover.
Right.
People are so desperate.
Anybody, they're taking
anybody.
You can
hang it on their refrigerator.
Yeah. They're taking anybody's submissions at this point, so.
Right. No, but I actually really like this cover. I'll tweet this out with the podcast when I do it on Monday.
Yeah.
But, I like the fiery bat symbol. You know, you've got the fiery bats going all over the place.
Yeah.
And then you have the little dark Batman shadow in the background. A lot of little, intricacies to this that I really like.
Yeah. No, like I said, it's really good.
And Nightwing number 72, Alan... Right. How do you say that?
I said qua, but I mean, that could be wrong. I don't know.
Q.
Q, yeah.
Calm.
Quinoa,
yeah.
He's vegan.
I'm surprised you actually even, maybe it's, again, it's quarantine art. This, to me, looks a little sketchy for you.
Well,
for your taste.
Again, it was the only other cover that there was. So I had to have at least two.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, like I said, it's not my favorite, but... there just weren't a lot of choices this week. FOC was pretty slim pickings.
Right.
So
no, I like it. I know. I mean, it's I actually really do. I think even without the quarantine, I'd like the Mattina. But
that's going to be like our thing now going forward. It's like I would have liked this pre-quarantine, but post-quarantine, I just don't. It just doesn't cut the mustard.
Like
anymore.
A year from now, it would be like, this is a great cover, but.
It's like PQ and BQ, you know?
Right.
We're like, we're in the year the 1AQ.
Yeah, we're in that weird time. There was like AD, you know, BC and AD. What was that year in the middle where it was like, that was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The year of our Lord, 1AQ. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know. It's after all this, and it'll be a crappy cover. You're like, well, if this was a quarantine, we'd be loving this piece right now. But, oh, well. Hey, can't all be gems, but I actually do like that one. I'll probably pick that one up.
Cool.
You ready to get into some Spider-Man?
I am.
This trailer here and take a little blast from the past that we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
All right.
Not everyone is meant to make a difference, but for me, the choice to live an ordinary life is no longer an option.
He's saved my life twice, and I've never even seen his face.
You are amazing.
All right, that was short and sweet. That trailer had a lot of music in it that I edited out of there. So, so I went with the, and you can't go wrong if you Google that in the final scene. You have that scene of her and the upside down kiss and everything.
Yeah.
That's what she was saying at the end there. So your first thoughts when you rewatched it. Did you rewatch this?
I did rewatched it last night. Well, my first thought comes in a question to you, and I think my question will tell you what my thinking is. So my question is did the MCU ruin all of these other movies for you?
Quite possibly. I wouldn't say ruined them.
Diminished them, let's say.
Right. Much, yeah.
Because I remember liking this a lot more than I liked it last night.
I still like it.
Much the same as Blade. Yes, yep. I still liked it, but it seemed,
I didn't get cringeworthy during it though, like I did with Blade.
No, but it seemed a little over the top in a lot of cases.
But you know what I likened it to? Joe and I had this conversation last night, and I said this is a comic book movie.
It is.
And it's very much like a comic book. Like, I thought William Dafoe, he embodied, like, the comic book version.
Right.
You know, and I just, it was over the top, but a comic book is over the top.
It is.
This had the bright colors. This was, and Joe made the comment last night. He goes, this is a lot like Batman 89, just bright.
Right.
You know, and it was over the top, but, you know.
I just remember, you know, this came out in, what, 2002?
2002, yes.
2002. But even 10 years ago, which was just the beginning, I guess, just the beginning of the MCU, I mean, this was the gold standard comic book movie, right? Like, I thought it was groundbreaking when it came out. You know, it was phenomenal. Like, I just thought this was a fantastic movie. I just don't feel that way anymore, though. And
right.
I think because we got, you know, and I hate to throw this around because, you know, it's a pretty bold statement, but like we have now the perfect Peter Parker, you know, and the perfect Spider-Man and Tom Holland, you know what I mean? And now when I watch this, and I had to go back to IMDb just to verify when I was watching this, but when now we get the 27-year-old high school kid, you know,
Joe mentioned that during the movie. He's like, he's 27.
He was 27 years old.
He's 5 years younger than you.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Playing a high schooler.
You could have said the same thing about Matthew, what's his name?
Oh, Matthew Broderick.
Broderick. Yeah. That's it. Sorry. Matthew Broderick was same thing. And I thought he looked the part.
He did. I mean, obviously, yeah. He's got a baby face, and he did. It's not
the
like
one
he
that,
stood the, out necessarily as
you
being
27. You know who
27.
Did stand out, though?
Who's that?
Joe Manganiello.
Joe Manganiello, which I didn't know was in this movie until I saw it the day before on Twitter. He posted something. He posted a picture of himself on Twitter. When did I say I watched this? Yesterday, which was Tuesday. Yeah. So Monday. And for some reason, they were talking about this movie. So it must have been some kind of milestone for the Spider-Man movie on this past Monday. And he had a picture of himself with the food on his back from the cafeteria.
Yeah,
and he was reminiscing about the endless takes of him sitting there with Sam Raimi throwing food at him, you know, for that shot. And I was like, oh my God, I had no idea that he was even in that movie.
Well, he wasn't anybody at the time.
Well, right, he wasn't. You know. And I haven't seen it since he became somebody, basically.
Right.
So that tells you how long it's been since I've watched the movie. But yeah, he's definitely a year younger.
He's a year younger than Tobey Maguire, but he looks 26, like,
well,
like
he looked
30
like a,
something.
I mean, he looked like a man. That's the whole thing. I mean, the dude's like 7 feet tall, you know, 7 feet wide. And even then, I mean, he was smaller then than he ended up being now.
Right.
You know, he definitely didn't have the muscle mass that he has now, but still, I mean, he was a big guy and, you know, again, didn't look like a high school kid at all. And neither did Kirsten. None of them do. I mean, they all,
no.
When you watch it now, cause again, now fast forward to the MCU and we had a 16-year-old kid playing a 16-year-old kid, you know?
Right.
And you see what that looks like and it just, I mean, it just works better. And you could take the technology leaps out of it because I don't think what makes Tom Holland Spider-Man better is the CGI or the technology.
No, it's the writing.
It's the writing. But it's also like, you know, again, not that Tobey Maguire is a bad actor or anything, but Tom Holland is just literally he is the perfect Spider-Man, you know.
Well, I think Tom Holland is to Spider-Man as like Willem Dafoe was to Norman and Green Goblin. I mean, the faces that Willem Dafoe made in this movie were like, that's not CGI.
No, that's acting.
Yeah, and like Joe said, he goes, this is borderline a horror movie because there are some jump scenes in this that were really scary with the way that the audio, the way they, you know, they ramp up the audio all of a sudden, that, and you got Willem Dafoe's face like taking up the whole screen.
Right.
There were parts of it that I thought were creative writing. I thought it was pretty good, but you're right. This is what I think that when you hear somebody like Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
This is what he's talking about.
Right.
When he says these comic book movies. It's like, I feel like when he made those comments, it's like he hasn't seen a movie since
Spider-Man or Batman
2002, or any of these Spider-Man movies,
the Joel Silver Batman movies or whatever, you know?
Yeah, but I think what Marvel has done is they've taken these comic book stories and put them in a cinematic type, you know, they've given them the cinematic treatment where they've get real movie writing and, you know, great special effects and all that we know that goes along with it. It's not the special effects that are separating these things. You're right. It's the storyline. And I agree. I do agree. It's like you look back at these and
in a way it makes me mad because
why?
Because it took away something from me. You know what I mean? Because I had
was dumb.
Well, no, but in my memories, this movie lived on as being a great movie.
I'm sorry I asked you to watch it.
No, I mean, do you understand what I'm trying to say though? It's like I said, it kind of, in my mind, it lived on as being a great movie, but it just didn't live up to the reality, or the reality didn't live up to that this time around, because we've seen better, you know, now.
But that comes with everything, you know, I mean, getting a car from the 70s.
It's like, right.
You know, it's like when you bought your brand new Velari, you thought it was a cat's meow right there. You're like, ooh, look at these velvet seats.
Well, I don't know if it lived on in my memory as being a perfect car, though.
But you know what I mean? But it was like, oh, it had the new car smell. They all had that. It was great. But that now, if you pulled that out now, even brand new, you're like, seriously?
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I mean, that happens over time, you know? And I mean, I'm sure there'll come a time when we look back at, like, you know, the Christopher Nolan Batmans or any of these Marvel movies.
Right. And we've mentioned that recently we talked about that. Somehow we brought it up to Iron Man, and at some point we'll look back on Iron Man and think that it was cheesy because we'll just have progressed so much further since then.
But here's the thing, and this is the part where it's like I'd like to take you back and maybe redeem it a little bit for you, because much like we were saying when we were talking about the comic book covers, it's quarantine time. These things look great and whatever. But these movies, too, are also, if you remember, Spider-Man is a huge character. Huge. Yep. I would say he's like the, in my opinion, he's the Superman of Marvel.
Yes.
He had never had a movie.
Right.
You and I mean, as Spider-Man fans growing up, we watched Electric Company.
Yep.
To be able to see Spider-Man, and he didn't even speak that one. But it was the best costume, if I remember right.
It was great, yeah. And then you had, you know, Morgan Freeman playing the Wall. So
yeah.
How can you go wrong?
Oh, yeah. But we were dying for Spider-Man. I mean, we did our Saturday morning cartoons, and we're like, wow, this isn't what we remember. But we were dying for Spider-Man. So when I think we heard about this in like 2000.
Yeah, we knew about it for a few years.
For this movie to come out. I have this poster on my wall in my theater because it is one of the top movies for me and you're right, it suffers in comparison, but it's still those memories, and it's that first Spider-Man movie.
Yep.
And that's really when I tweeted it out earlier today. I'm like, this is the first great Spider-Man movie. It might not be great anymore, but it was. And it was literally the first one. This is Superman from 78.
Yes.
Christopher Reeve's flying? That doesn't look so great nowadays.
Well, and I might say the same thing because I haven't revisited that movie in, I don't know, 25 years probably.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I might.
You didn't get the 4K?
No, not yet.
Oh, pick that up.
But it might not hold up for me either, you know? It's hard to say.
It doesn't, but it does. Yeah. It looks fantastic in the 4K. I've watched it a couple of times, and it's like, I think I talked to you about it, and like the very beginning of it, you forget. I'd forgotten that it started the way it did.
Yeah.
You'll see. It's really good. But again, that I'll still remember. And I mean, the world was amazed at a man flying.
Yes.
We've talked about that movie in the past and how it was like, you know, like there were specials on TV on how they did that and everything. So that was, you know, that was a big deal. And much like 2002 in this Spider-Man movie.
It was groundbreaking at the time.
Groundbreaking. But one of the things I noticed the first time he walks up a wall when he's first getting his powers, I was like, okay, this is Batman 66.
Right. You could tell that they just laid it down on its side.
Right. He's crawling on the floor.
Right.
It's like,
yeah, definitely.
I thought that
Batman
was pretty funny.
Yeah. I could see the rope people. I wanted somebody to open their window and
And they come out straight out like that.
Right.
It's like, oh man.
Yeah. Well, and you've mentioned it a few times, but you know, they took some liberties with Spider-Man here that I take a little bit of offense with, because like you, I hate the webbing shooting out of his wrists. You know, we've never really had seen the little protrusions on his fingertips and things like that. So, you know, they put a couple things in there that I didn't love.
It's funny. The protrusions I thought I had seen. I thought there was some mention of that either in a cartoon or a comic, in that in one of the origin stories I saw, that's how he would stick.
Yeah, so I don't remember
ever
seeing that.
It didn't bother me that much.
It didn't bother me nearly as much as the webs, but it just was something that I don't, you know, I hadn't remember ever seeing before.
The webs bothered me, like, really bad.
Yeah.
But that gets back to, this is the first Spider-Man movie, and I was able to forgive it. Like, I didn't walk out of that theater hating the movie because of it.
Well, here's what I kept thinking.
Yay, I got a Spider-Man movie.
I never thought of this until I was watching it last night. But after I was looking at it, I was like, how is it shooting through his costume? Like, how is he shooting those webs through his shirt, you know? It's like, really, he should just have a bunch of webs stuck to his arm, balled up inside his shirt.
Yeah.
So.
Or his fingers all just go poof, like mittens.
Exactly.
His hands fill up. Yeah, I didn't understand that. I didn't, like, I remember the first time seeing it and being like, what?
Yeah, that's interesting.
One, it's kind of gross. And two, that takes so much out of his story. much out of his character of, like, I get it. It's being a movie. They're not going to build off of that. But that was some of my favorite stuff is him going back to his, you know, it was one of those, you know, he gets beat up and he has to go back because, you know, I got to come up with a new webbing for this, or I got to do that and tinker with his equipment. And he really was like Tony Stark.
Right.
In that way, where he invented his own stuff. So I thought that was a flaw, a huge flaw. But again, this was our first Spider-Man movie. Right. So we were pretty excited to get it. And we were able to overlook that and forgive that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, and I distinctly remember walking out of that being completely blown away. Like, just couldn't stop talking about how great it was. So it didn't bother me as much at the time, for sure.
Oh, another one that I thought nailed the role is obviously everybody's talked about it since then, J.K. but J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to bring that up a few minutes ago, actually.
Yeah, J. Jonah. I mean, he's so funny
that it looks like he's coming back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. They're bringing him back. And I mean, and that brings up the question of, are these movies now going to be linked?
Yeah, well, or is it just completely unrelated fan service, you know?
Could be. But that's part of the whole fan thing, is that we all start guessing that these are all linked. Yeah, the lines that he had in this and they don't want to wait. They're gonna.
Yeah.
They're about to.
Yep, they're about to.
he was really good in his hair. What is this? He's like, I trust my barber.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, perfect casting right there. And his great job.
You know, not that this doesn't have anything to do with J. Jonah Jameson, but it just popped into my mind. When they were doing the test scene at the bunker where they were showing like the alternate version of the exosuit and, you know, the goblin first comes in and blows everything up. I got to thinking to myself when I was watching that, I was like, who the hell would want that suit? Like, the hell, what was that contraption that he was even in anyways? What could you do in that? You know,
it's like, apparently not much. He couldn't even defend himself.
Right.
He's just supposed to be a military suit.
You can just
and
stand
he's about
there.
To get attacked and he just screamed.
Right.
It's like, great suit. I was like, how about you defend yourself?
Yeah, but I was watching it. I was like, who would want that? What would you even do with that?
Right. You know? Well, it reminded me of the Iron Man 2 and all the suits that they were demonstrating by, what's his name? The other company.
No, I can't remember.
Not Stark, but the other company. Stain? There.
No, Obadiah Stane was from the first one. Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Yeah. But
Hammer Industries.
Hammer, that's right. Yeah.
That's what it was. Hammer. Yeah. Sam Rockwell and his, some of those suits and the guy bending over backwards and something like that guy lived. Right. But yeah, that suit reminded me of that because that was like one of those off brand bad ideas.
Yeah. It was just funny.
But that was part of that whole over the top thing.
Right.
One thing I noticed, speaking of the goblin suit and when they were testing it, did you see the test pilot that was on it in the lab?
Yeah.
When the military was walking through there, was he the most menacing test pilot that you've ever? He looked more menacing than the Green Goblin himself.
Right.
He was in the goblin suit, but he didn't have the helmet on. But his head—he was like a bald guy, and he had this contraption on his head or something that it looked like. I guess that's part that like the glider reads your mind or something.
Right.
This guy, it's like, I mean, he's a worker there or something, and he's a test pilot, and it's like, he looked scary unto himself.
Right.
Like, ugh.
We never saw him again, but.
Nope. Another character I saw that I didn't, well, basically she was nobody before this, Elizabeth Banks.
Oh, yeah. I actually knew.
Playing Betty Brant.
Yeah, I knew she was in it. I remembered her from that.
I had forgotten she was in it. And it's the first time she showed up, Yuli. And with that dark hair, you don't recognize her like that.
Yeah, well, if I knew who she was, so if I hadn't known, it would have been hard to recognize her because the short bob haircut and the dark hair. But I think at the time, it was probably one of her first, you know, one of the first things she had done.
Oh, yeah. Which, didn't she do Best in Show and stuff like that? But that was that after that?
I'm not sure. I don't think I ever even saw that.
And then she was, of course, she was Effie in the Hunger Games.
Right. I didn't series. See those either. So.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Yeah, that's what I knew her from that. And then you have Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, well, I was going to say,
Bonesaw.
When you mentioned earlier that there weren't any cringeworthy moments, he definitely came to mind.
Really?
Yeah, he was a little cringe.
I loved him.
I mean, I do too. Because I always loved.
He was him.
Yeah. I mean, I always watched wrestling with my dad when I was a kid. And yeah. That was at the time where.
WWF.
Yeah, where he was a
WWF.
Big.
WWF.
Yeah, he was, you know, he was big in wrestling at that time. But yeah, he was a little cringeworthy too.
R.I.P. He died a few years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Quite a few now, actually.
Quite a few years ago.
But he looked. He was jacked.
He was.
And he looked older.
He was older, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, by 2002, like I said, I was watching him with my dad when I was in high school in the 80s, so.
Yeah.
He had probably long since retired from wrestling by that point, I would think.
Yeah, I haven't watched wrestling since, yeah, probably the 80s.
Yeah.
But yeah, when he showed up in the movie, I was like, ooh, that's Macho Man. Yeah. I know him. And Mean Gene was in there, too.
Was he? I didn't catch him.
Mean Gene? Yeah, he was the, he worked at the ring. Oh, he was the cop. I'm sorry, he was the cop. So,
oh, what? I didn't even recognize
remember when
him. Yeah.
The bad guy, he robbed the
I know what you're talking about, yeah, but I didn't recognize him. That's funny.
Yeah, that was Mean Gene.
Yeah.
And yeah, the announcer for WWF.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know who he is. I just didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Mean Gene.
Oh, that was something I wanted to talk to you about, too, that I meant to start off, but we were talking about the trailer.
What's that?
The opening credits for this? Was that something from, like, back then? The opening credits for this movie, it seemed like 5 minutes long.
They were pretty long.
it was cool. It's like, and it looks really nice now in the 4K. It actually looked a little 3D, which was kind of cool, but Joel leans over to me and goes, is it taking a while?
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't get it in 4K. This was the show that almost wasn't for me because I have the Blu-ray. I don't have the 4K, but I have the Blu-ray version of this movie. But for some reason, it must be defective.
Really?
And now I'm thinking,
that stinks.
Maybe I never even watched it on Blu-ray because I don't remember having an issue, but it kept freezing and skipping and freezing on me. I watched the first 35 minutes or so of it, and it kept getting progressively worse all the way up to the part where he has the face-off with the guy that killed his uncle. And I just couldn't take it anymore. I shut it off. I said, I can't watch this. And then looked everywhere to see if it was I ended up finding it on Hulu, but it's not on Netflix. It's not on Amazon Prime. It's not on HBO On Demand. And I was like, I'm not going to spend money on this. I was like, I'll just have to go from memory on the rest of this. But I ended up finding it. I went on my Apple TV and I just put it into the search and it pulled it up on Hulu for me.
But yeah.
I was super frustrated trying to watch this. And like I said, I don't remember. I'm hoping it was the disc and not my player. But I used the player the whole time I was quarantined. I mean, I watched all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, I don't think it's the player.
And I didn't have any problems with it. But, you know, I pulled out the disc to try to clean it. And, I mean, it's super clean. I mean, there's no scratches or there was nothing on the disc. So, yeah, I don't know what it was. But, yeah, I was getting super mad. And I'm thinking, oh, man. But the funny thing was, is even though, like we mentioned at the top of the show, that I wasn't super in love with the movie, I did look it up. You know, look it up to buy the 3-disc set on 4K. So I'm probably going to buy it anyways.
Check out the all 6.
Yeah, I saw that on the
4K set. That's
on Best
Buy. Set.
Yeah, yeah, they have all of them.
Because you get all of them together, 4K, DVD, and I mean, it's a really nice set, and you have all of them together. So it's just.
Because now the other one is, you know, again, we've mentioned it a couple of times over the course of this show, not today, but overall, how Spider-Man 2 is one of the perfect comic book movies. I'm kind of afraid to go back and watch it now. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I'm hoping that it doesn't, you know, that it lives up to my memory of it, you know?
Yeah.
Now, the third one is trash, and so I'm not even worried about that because I know that it's not a great movie, but The second one, again, it kind of lives on in my mind anyway as being a, you know, great, great comic book movie. And I'm a little afraid to watch it and spoil it for myself.
No. So. No, I'm looking forward to that one. And the other Spideys, they're all, I mean, they've all been redone. I mean, I'm going to talk about this one for a little bit in my other podcast. They look good. And they all have, I think they're all been redone in Atmos. So
yeah,
definitely that's definitely the collection to get for Spider-Man.
Anyways. Oh yeah. And it's not much. I mean, the all six disc set is like $60 on Best Buy.
Is it so. Even that much?
Yeah. I think it was $59.95.
All right. I can't go wrong. $10 a movie.
Yeah. I was going to say it's pretty good bargain. So.
So let's get to a couple of these over the top scenes. Which scene, I'll just put it out to you right now off the top of your head. Which scene really sticks out as over the top for you?
Well, the wrestling scene, like we just kind of touched on. You know, I think Randy Savage was a bit over the top. But, you know, really any of the, any scene that had the Green Goblin in it, you know, especially when he first is getting the gas, you know, and he jumps out of the chamber and
crouches
and kind of like
turns into him.
Yeah, growls at the guy after he throws him across the room. I was like,
yeah,
well, that's a little over the top. But I don't know, something about the mask bugged me a bit this time around. Like the mouth being open on the mask and you could see
him. You could see him.
Yeah. I was like, because, you know, we hadn't seen, that's not what the Green Goblin looks like. He was not a comic accurate version of the Green Goblin.
No.
Now they've since kind of retconned him in the comics to look a little bit more like that movie. But, you know, back in the day, you know, he was a guy that looked like he had an elf hat on, you know.
Right. No, he was green.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that was the whole thing. Well, no, he had a rubber mask. He had a rubber mask, a Green Goblin mask that he wore. But it didn't look anything like that. And so that was already a change. You know, again, something about that helmet kind of rubbed me the wrong way this time around because it looked a little cheesy. But yeah, anything.
Yeah, but I think they were trying to.
Anything with him was over the top, you know.
But see, here's the thing, though. Like you said, like when you started out asking about Marvel movies, did Marvel movies ruin that? Because Marvel movies found a way to write these comic book movies and make them not seem over the top.
Right.
Obviously, Christopher Nolan's. It's easier to do with Batman because he is a more grounded character.
Yes.
But yet they still found a way to go over the top in the, you know, the Joel Schusters and
Schumacher. In Schumacher. The 90s. Yeah, I said Silver earlier, but it wasn't Silver. It's Joel Schumacher.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the norm then.
It was.
It was fine at the time.
Well, right. Like I said, it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me then. It just kind of bothers me now. And I think it's. Like I said, I think it's just because we've been a little spoiled by what we're getting. And, you know, it makes them feel a little bit more cartoonish now because they feel more like what we're getting now. Again, even though we're dealing with fantastic characters and storylines, I mean, of course, it's still all fantasy and very, you know, none of it's believable, but it feels grounded and still realistic. You know what I mean?
Right. So in Marvel, in the Marvel universe, what would you say is the most over the top movie?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you want to hear my answer?
Ant-Man, I guess. Maybe Ant-Man.
So my answer would be the most over the top, most extravagant, be Guardians.
I almost said Guardians, but I think Ant-Man is even a little bit more than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I see Ant-Man being a little bit more grounded.
Yeah, but the guy, who's the guy? Science. Who's the guy around him? The funny guy.
Michael Pena.
You know, he's very over the top. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's the comic relief.
Yeah. Well, but that's what I think of when you ask me that. That's kind of what comes to mind. Because those movies aren't comic relief. You know what I mean? Most of them.
But that's why I would say Guardians, because almost that whole movie is comic relief.
Yeah.
Almost every character is over the top. You know, they even make fun of it in Endgame when, you know, Quill's like dancing.
Right.
And, you know, he's like, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
You're like, yep. I mean, so you know what I mean? That's why, and Guardians is one of the more popular movies.
Yeah.
Well, one of the more popular series.
One of my favorites.
People love that. Like
yeah,
exactly.
It's in my top three, so.
And it's like, it's that over the top in the midst of all of the Marvel movies that seem more grounded because they've done a great job at that. And that, then you have this thing. And the same with Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Ragnarok was bright, over the top. You actually pitted Thor versus Hulk. You had all this stuff going on. And it was like, that's one of the bright parts of the saga or whatever.
Right.
You could actually say like some of those two, Guardians and Ragnarok, are closer to 2002 Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Especially that, what I thought one of the over-the-top scenes was that whole, the balcony scene, when the Goblin shows up and he kills the people on the balcony, and right. you have those hot air balloons and all the people down below, and like Joe was saying, he goes, isn't that the same thing from Batman 89 when he was going to give away the money?
Right.
And you had all the crowd below, and it was like, you know, it was kind of like a brighter version of that. But that's an over-the-top scene, but it was, at the time, it worked.
Yeah, well, like I said, and it's hard to go back and, you know, look at anything through the lens of 2020, you know what I mean? It's right. almost not fair to try to do that, but how do you help it, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you can't really, I can't watch it with a filter on and tell my, you know, and pretend like.
Forget what I've seen.
Yeah.
No, that's life.
Yeah.
I did think it was funny that there were two mentions of DC characters in this.
Well, I heard Superman. Who was the other one?
When he was trying to use his webs. Shazam!
Oh, that's right. Shazam. Okay.
He used the Shazam line.
Yeah.
He used that. He said Superman. You know,
yeah, because Aunt May says, you're not Aunt Superman, said, you know.
Yeah, you're not Superman. And which I thought was pretty cool. And
yeah.
Especially back in 2002, we were like, ooh.
Yeah, crossover.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... I noticed that too. I kind of had forgot the Shazam one, but
yeah, it was funny when he was learning to use his webs, getting back into the web shooters
yeah.
instead of, and he actually
well, he
made...
also says up, up and away web or something too, doesn't he? Which
yeah,
is
yeah.
another Superman reference.
Yeah, up, up and away web.
Yeah.
And it's like, but yeah, it's he made the motion that he would make. I mean, there's a reason that Spider-Man uses the two metal fingers,
right,
and pushes on his palm because that's
right,
how
because that's how he releases the.
The web shooters.
Right.
And it's like, that isn't, and he did that, but nothing happened.
Right. Cause it was a little callback, but.
Yeah. It's like, all right, well, we know what we're doing here, but we're going to change it anyways.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks
well, I mean, they, obviously they consciously made the decision to do what they
right.
did with the webs. Now, I know you're a kind of a big, director's commentary kind of guy, and, you know, I don't pay attention to any of that stuff, but. I'm just wondering if they ever address the reason why they made that change.
I haven't gone through the commentary on this.
Okay.
I mean, I'm interested in doing it and for that reason.
Right.
And I got to imagine, and just guessing after all the commentary that I've ever heard, the reason that they would give is because it's a movie and they figured it's one thing you can omit because they weren't going to go back to it.
Right.
You know, it really, if you think about it, the movie still works without it.
It does.
You didn't need to have the character go back and be able to tinker with his stuff for this movie. It's even in the 3-movie arc, it didn't hurt it.
No,
but
it didn't.
It's something but... that, but it also, it's something that you could have put in and never gone, you know, just made, oh, he made them. Okay, cool.
Right.
And that's it. I didn't understand why they didn't just have him make them and then leave it at that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't either. You know, it just could have been something that, you know, he tinkered with in his room for 5 minutes of screen time, and then we just accepted it from there.
Now that you think
on.
About it, they didn't actually portray him as very smart.
They either. Didn't either. Like, they never really. There was something with him and Norman in the beginning where
you knew he was smart.
He said something about reading
that.
His paper. You know, he read his paper and he said, "Oh, you understood it," and blah blah blah. So
and that was it.
Yeah. So they did make that reference to him being smart. And, you know, the obviously in the museum or whatever they were in the beginning, you know, he was kind of the smart guy. But yeah, they didn't play him up as being the genius that he is in the comics.
And but I think the other part is I think they just wanted to get out an origin story.
Right.
Almost like they wanted to make an over-the-top movie, a nice origin story where we said at the beginning that we've never had this character on the big screen.
No, and I think overall they were very faithful to, like, they actually did a great job with the origin story.
I love the suit.
Like, yeah, Yeah.
I loved it then. I was very excited. I was like, oh, when you saw the commercials for it and the posters.
But it was pretty beat for beat right from the comics. Like, the origin, as far as comic book movies go, it was one of the most true to the, you know, to the comic book version of the origin. I mean, the lines from Uncle Ben, like, everything was,
yeah,
was perfect. So I think they did a great job with that. Yeah, and the suit was, you know, again, especially at the time, you know. And I actually, and I like that version of the suit still more than, like, the Homecoming version that we have in the MCU, because that's the more classic version of his suit.
Yeah.
No, again, I like some of the things they've done recently with the eyes and, you know, in the newer,
yeah,
in the newer movies, but like, this was very much the Spider-Man right out of the comic books, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's an incredible artist.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he's a great, right, obviously. Yeah, he's a great artist.
I love how they show him making it, and then when you see the final product, you're like, really? How did he get that design? Like the raised,
right,
webbing on the shirt, on the suit, and everything.
Right.
And so you're like, where do you buy that?
Yeah,
that,
that, yeah, blue, I don't, pattern? Know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know how he how he actually, and he's broke, right? Like, he has no money.
Right.
I'm not quite sure now, how he pulled that off either. But
as somebody who, like, when I was a kid, I sewed a lot. I made a lot of my own stuff. I'm a Bruins fan. I wanted my own Bork jersey, so I actually made it.
Right.
I had a Bruins jersey with no names on it.
Right.
So I took and I painted the 7 on it, and then actually sewed a nameplate. And put it on the back. You know how they have the name,
yeah,
plate on the back of the shirt so they could take them off if they get,
yeah, if they,
you
get
know, a different
traded
player or whatever? Yeah, I wanted that. I wanted it to look real, so I sewed it.
Right.
I made it. And it's like, I made a lot of my own stuff like that. So, and I made a lot of trips to, you know, in Franklin, the mill store.
Right.
And going down there and buying materials. So when you see this, even in 2002, and you're like, where is he going to buy,
yeah,
that material?
Like, is he at the Hobby Lobby? Like, where,
yeah,
where is he at?
Yeah. And those, where, whoever he bought it from is like, I know who that kid is.
Right.
I sold him the material.
Let me get the receipts.
Yeah.
Well, and honestly, like, some of the things he pulled off in the hallway at the school, like, didn't that tip anybody off that he was Spider-Man,
some,
you know?
Some nice moves.
Some, yeah, some cool moves. And then, you know, conveniently they move to New York and Spider-Man shows up. It's like when Clark Kent moves to Metropolis from Smallville and everything that happened in Smallville starts happening in Metropolis. It was kind of like the same thing,
well,
you know?
A pair of glasses were disguised.
Right,
so
right.
Those people are easily fooled.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like, it shouldn't have been too hard to figure out.
Yeah.
And then I loved how, again, we're just kind of going all over the place, but
of course.
At the end of the movie, when he's kissing Mary Jane, and then, you know, she has her little speech to him, and he does his whole,
well,
so, like, you know,
speaking of speeches,
I can't be with you because of this and this, and he walks away. And it's like 5 or 6 minutes after they kissed, and he's walking away, and then she puts her fingers to her lips and realizes,
yeah, she goes,
that she kissed Spider-Man. It's like, now it came to you? Like,
yeah.
You know, not while you were kissing him, but like 5 minutes later, all of a sudden the sensation,
right,
comes to you. I thought that was a little funny.
That was funny. The what I was going to say is, speaking of speeches,
yeah,
when you said the speech at the end, I started cracking up. I said to Joe during the speech that he gave her, the little monologue in the hospital.
Yeah.
Talking to Mary Jane.
Yeah.
And when it was like, oh, you know Spider-Man? He's like, what did he say? Did he ask about me? And he's like, yeah, he asked about you. And then he's like, what did you say? And then he goes, well, I told him. And then he goes on this long speech,
right?
Right? And I look over at Joe, I go, yeah, that sounds like a couple of guys talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I go, and I said, like, never mind just like some guy talking to a superhero.
Right. Like, I know him a little bit.
I'm like,
that sounds like you know him a lot more than a little bit.
I've known you, I was going to say longer than my wife, but I haven't. I would literally die for my wife. And I don't think you've ever heard me say anything that long and that nice,
right,
about my wife.
Right.
I probably have never said anything.
Well, and why would,
nope, people's wedding vows don't have that nice.
And why would Spider-Man even be talking about her to Peter to begin with.
Hey, yeah, I'm going to take some pictures of you. Yeah. Oh, speaking of right. which.
But speaking of, you know, the hospital scene, it just reminded me of the actual most over-the-top scene in the whole movie. It's when... It's when she's
what,
when,
put her in the hospital.
Yeah, when he breaks in on her praying, and he goes, "Finish it," and she goes, "From evil." And then they cut to her in the hospital, and she's just like raving like a lunatic. You know, I was like, "That is over the top, right there."
You've gotta hear that one when you get the 4K
in Atmos,
because the Atmos because the finish it,
yeah.
comes from the back of the room, like the it's like your hair blows.
Right. Like, but I was like, that is over the top it. Right there.
Oh, yeah, it was. That was over the top. And then, yeah. And then her, the from email.
Yeah, it was. That was a little cringeworthy.
There was another line I liked when Spider-Man's, he's holding the trolley of kids up.
Right.
Right. And he's holding on to Mary Jane. And all this stuff is going on. And Green Goblin's about to come in and hit him for the last time and knock everything down. Right. And, like, somebody throws a soup can.
Yeah.
Right? And the guy from the bridge yells, "Just leave him alone. He's trying to save some kids."
Right.
Like, what do you mean, just leave him? He's the guy that dropped the kids.
Exactly. He doesn't want him to be saved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize what he was doing. I'll go fly around and terrorize somebody else.
Where did they all come from? It's like all of a sudden all these people are on the bridge. It's like, where were you before? Like, you know?
No.
And they all have soup kit. Like, they all have stuff to throw. It's like all of a sudden everybody's on the bridge with rotten produce, and it's like, produce. Where did you get this like, stuff from?
I'd be like, hey, get me my snow broom.
Yeah.
I'll throw that at them.
You know, like, you mess with one of us, you mess with what? All of us. It's like, nobody says that. You know?
No. Yeah.
But I was like, oh, that's funny.
When Mary Jane woke up on top of the bridge,
yeah.
like, and I say on top
yeah.
of the bridge, and on that little piece, I said to Joe, I go, look, I'm not afraid of heights, but if I wake up yeah. there, I'm not standing up.
Right. Well, and like, oh, you don't toss and turn. Like, she didn't just roll off when she was sleeping, you know?
Well, she almost fell off when she got up and she's looking
and
around.
And then she did a Spider-Man like, move just to not fall off that bridge.
Yeah. The,
it's like her feet were stuck. Like, she, you know, her feet were stuck to the bottom. Because yeah. if I lean back that far, I'm going all the way off. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm not pulling myself back.
No. So. No way.
Well, you know, we haven't talked about the elephant in the room, which is like the most famous scene from the movie, which is, you know, the upside down, which I don't even know if that works. Like, I've never tried to kiss anybody upside down, but.
So maybe I did watch a commentary or I heard something. You haven't heard about that?
No.
It was horrible for them. He was. Watching that scene ever since I heard the talk about that,
probably,
he's
yeah,
basically being waterboarded.
Yeah.
He's being waterboarded because he's got the mask over
the
his face,
right, the
over his mouth,
dripping
or
into
his nose.
Yeah.
And he's trying to kiss her so he can't breathe through his mouth.
Right.
And then, but she's soaking wet and she's trying to do it. And they're like, that's acting right there.
Right.
And they're like, cause they made that look so good. And everybody's like, that is so romantic.
Right.
It's, what a scene. Like the women loved it.
They hated it.
The guys loved that scene.
Well,
because,
not for that reason. Yeah. For other reasons.
Yeah.
It was cold too. It was cold
yes,
and wet.
Yeah. It was a borderline snow.
Right.
Apparently.
Right.
It's like 33 degrees.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, but yeah, that scene was really hard
for them to
do.
Shoot.
Yeah. And it's like, and watching it after hearing that, every time I see that scene, it's like, yeah, he's being waterboarded.
You just can't enjoy it. Like, you can't enjoy it as much. Huh?
Yeah. But yeah, that was the scene. I remember the whole scene leading up to that
yes.
and her attire and everything. And you're like, wow, okie dokie.
Yep.
I mean,
hello there.
Like, yeah. That was actually kind of surprising,
yeah.
even back in 2002.
Yeah, because
it's like,
that's a comic book movie.
I don't remember seeing that in the comics.
Yeah.
So I think we can wrap up on that. Leave
yeah.
on a happy note.
There you go.
That's the bright side
yep.
for you.
Hey.
Oh, man. All right. We got anything? Nope. Nothing coming out this week.
Nothing
right?
coming out this
next
week.
Next week.
Yeah, the 20th. Next week, we'll be able to talk about what's coming out the following week.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Then we'll truly be, well, at least for us, again, we'll truly be back to normal because we'll have
we
a regular...
We may be up here as well by
you might
then.
Be,
by the 20th, we might be like curbside.
Yep.
So we'll, if the new books come out, we may be able to get at them.
Hopefully you can.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
That'll be great. But, hey, that light at the end of the tunnel's getting bigger.
It is.
So that's a bright side PSA right there.
Yeah. Well, you know, in again, it's funny how human nature, I guess. But I was getting up this morning to go back to work or to go to work. And, you know, I've only been back to work for, what, like four days or so. And
yeah.
I'm already like, oh, man, I hate working. You know, it's like... It's like I'm already mad about being back to work, you know.
I know.
I didn't just have 5 weeks off, you know.
Yeah, you're like, I know. Like, man, I need to go back to work.
Man, I need
to go
my
back
day
to work.
Off, you know.
Ugh, that stinks.
Yeah.
Hey. Hopefully, it makes us appreciate it.
Well, again, we'll see how long it sticks, you know. Because once you get back into it, you'll be back into it, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know. We'll see. All right. Well, let us know how you're doing out there. You could tweet at us at brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts on Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And, rate, review, and subscribe. You know, much like Spider-Man in 2002, is this podcast better now than it was back in 2018?
Have we spoiled it for ourselves?
Have we spoiled it for ourselves? Because I would say this is much better than it was in 2018 because I've gone back and listened to a couple.
Right.
Actually, I had a listener commented on that once. Just recently, he went back and listened to some older ones. I was like, careful.
Yeah.
Careful.
You're taking your life into your own hands.
I know. I can't wait. I mean... Can't wait till we've been around a little bit longer and I feel a little more confident and we'll re-release that first episode that Joe said, I thought it was three.
Yeah. Thought it was three different shows.
Kept starting over. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Anyways, and if you want to venture back, you can go find them. They're all on Nerdy Legion. You just have to keep clicking back. You can find all of our podcasts
You
there.
Can. If you're so inclined.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it for me. Have a great week. Stay safe. We will be back on Thursday.
All right.
Take it easy.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.